Oh, what a great night. Are you loving it? How you feeling, Camperama? Me too. Oh, and have you just taken time to thank the Lord for this weather? I mean, I know we've got a lot of out-of-towners here, but what we had on, let's see, when did we start Camperama? What we had on Monday night, when it was like 2 degrees warmer than the surface of the sun, that's normally what we have in Southern Missouri in July. So this is like a blessing from heaven. This is a special anointing just for you guys. And so when Commander Carl was up here praying earlier and he thanked the Lord so that you could focus, that's real stuff right there. So tonight, the message, and you can say it after me, you go first. And I will say yes. I was in Arizona not that long ago. Where are my Arizona people at? There you are. There you are. And I was driving from Flagstaff down to Phoenix, and I had Pastor Drew with me. Pastor Drew is the children's pastor at Cottonwood Assembly of God. Is Cottonwood here? Crickets, literally. And so Pastor Drew and I are driving from Flagstaff down to Phoenix, and as we're going south on the interstate, he says, oh, right over there is a town called Sedona, you know, famous for the red rocks. It's really beautiful. People go there on weekends and vacation. And he said, there's this place called, and correct me if I'm wrong, Arizona, there's this place called Grasshopper Springs where they have these cliffs and you can climb up on them and you jump down into the water. There's a river and it has, you know, this deep enough pool that you can climb up and jump off. He's like, do you want to go jump off the cliff? Now, Rangers, tell me, someone says you want to jump off the cliff into water. You say, yeah. No, I trained you. We've been over this. You say, you go first. That's right. I was like, dude, if you do it, I will. Because I'm like, if he said he'd done it before. He said he'd done it before. It looked like it was safe. He said it was safe. But my response was, you go first. That's right. And so we get there. And it's a bit of a hike down into a valley, and then you hike up. So you go down to along the river, and then you got to climb up on the rocks to jump in. And when we get there, there's a group of people already there. I mean, like 20 people. So there's teenagers. There's people look like they're in their 20s. There's also like moms and dads and like little nuggets, like, you know, 4 or 5 year olds. And they're climbing up and they're jumping off. And I'm like, well, that doesn't look bad at all. So we climb up there. And I don't know if you've had this experience, but when you see someone jump off of the high dive or jump off of the cliff or jump off of, if you've ever jumped off of a bridge into a river or something like that, you know, swung from the vine or whatever, you get up there, it's a lot higher than it looks. And I kind of panicked for a second. And I kid you not, there was like a 9-year-old there. It was like, hey, if you're not going to go, can I go? I'm like, yeah, buddy, you go first. So he went first. You see, sometimes you go first is appropriate when we're scared. You go first is also appropriate when we're being a gentleman, when we're being polite. When I was dating my wife, and to this day, when we go through a door, I hold the door for her, and what do I say? You go first. It's one of the ways that we show respect. It's one of the ways that we show honor, as we say, you go first. But then it's also appropriate, like, when we're scared. And so tonight, the message is that we can say to God, you go first. And then the follow-up to that is, I will say yes. I will say yes. You see, God's word tells us that he's already gone before us. In fact, in Scripture, if you look at it, in Deuteronomy, when Joshua is going into the promised land, Moses actually says to him, God is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. Don't be intimidated. Don't worry. So the message for the Rangers tonight, you came down last night. Some of you accepted a call to ministry last night, vocational ministry. And my prayer is that everyone accepted the call to life ministry. Give your career to God. Give your life to ministry. You saw an example of that tonight. You've got a Christian illusionist, comedian, performer on stage. And I don't know your whole testimony, Josh, but my guess is at some point you said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he's brought you on an amazingly fun journey where you're eating cards on stage and regurgitating them up and calling Chewbacca a bear. I'm not sure I'm going to let that one slide. He's not just a Wookiee. His name's Chewbacca, and he's from the planet Kazyyyk. So, any other, come on. I know, right? Yeah, you can call me a nerd. I'm okay with it. It's like reliving seventh grade all over again. The passage I want to look at, Tomorrow night I've got a superhero story. I was actually in a major Hollywood film. I'm going to tell that story tomorrow night, but we're going to use it as a launching point for just seeking more of the Holy Spirit. And as we seek the Holy Spirit, you can trust and know that your leaders, that myself, that Commander Carl, your outpost commanders, your leaders, they've gone first. But we need you to say yes. So this story tonight comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 8. It's a story about Elijah. Elijah is an Old Testament prophet. This takes place in the nation of Israel. It takes place during a time when there's a lot of wickedness in that country. You know, if you study the Bible, if you read the Bible, you know that God's people, they've been blessed. As we read earlier, they've gone into the promised land. God's given them all these promises and fulfilled some amazing things, but what tends to happen is that God blesses his people and then they start doing wicked, bad stuff. And what I want to say to you is you don't have to do the wicked, bad stuff, Rangers. When you've got Jesus in your heart, you don't need that stuff. When you've got Jesus in your life, when you've committed your life to him, are you going to mess up? Yeah, of course, we're all human, but that's what Jesus is there for. If you weren't going to mess up, you wouldn't need Jesus in the first place. So tonight, we're going to look at this story, and I want you to be reminded over and over again that not only has God gone first, he's ready to bless you. And there's a blessing for those who will say yes. So you can say to God, you go first, but then you got to say right after that, God, you go first, and I will say yes. 1 Kings chapter 17, the nation of Israel is super wicked. It's so wicked that God says to Elijah, Elijah's his prophet, he says, hey, go and tell the king that I'm going to send a famine. There's not going to be any rain. It's going to be miserable. It's going to look like a post-apocalyptic war film where people are just dying. In fact, if you read the Old Testament, it describes what happens during times of famine, and it's pretty bad. Like, people are fighting, there's no, like, government, you're not getting a check in the mail to make up for your lost wages. It gets real ugly real fast. If food doesn't grow, people don't eat. So here's what's happening. The Lord says to Elijah, go and live in this village of Zarephath. This is during the famine. Near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So God's saying to Elijah, I'm telling you where to go. I've already gone there. I've instructed someone to feed you when you get there. Again, this is during a time of famine. So he went to Zarephath, and just like God said, he arrived at the gate. He saw a widow gathering sticks. Now, what's she doing? She's gathering sticks because she's going to build a fire. She's not doing a Royal Ranger lesson. She is not going to build a campfire because her son and some others are going to gather around and read the scriptures and praise the Lord and roast marshmallows. She's gathering sticks, and we're going to find out why in just a little bit. She's gathering sticks, and he says to her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? Now, in the first part of this passage, we know that God has already spoken to her. Did you catch that earlier? God said to Elijah, I've instructed a widow there to feed you. This is a time of famine. We find out she's not just a widow, she's a single mom. And things are bad. Things are real bad. In fact, check out how bad it was. As she was going to get the water, he called out to her and he says, bring me a bite of bread too. I'm picturing her. She's heard from God. I don't know how she heard from God. I don't know how you hear from God. I know that I hear from God. Sometimes I've never heard his voice, like audibly, like, Josh, go preach at Camperama and talk about the widow from Zarephath. That's right. God sounds like a radio announcer sometimes. And we're going to take a quick look at the weather forecast at Eagle Rock. So I've never heard God's audible voice, but I've sensed in my heart that God's wanted me to do things before. He's wanted me to talk to people. He's wanted me to serve others. He's wanted me to go into ministry. I've sensed these things that God has spoken to my heart. And so God has spoken to this woman, and he said, I want you to feed the prophet. We find out later that she doesn't have any food. There's a famine in the land, so however she's getting water, it's very scarce. It's probably not real clean water either. So all of a sudden, here comes the prophet. Chances are she knew who he was. Elijah was kind of a famous dude back then. She probably also knew that he was like the one who told the king that there was going to be a famine. So the conventional talk around Israel was that it's his fault, even though it was God bringing his judgment on a wicked people and a wicked king. So as she's walking to get the water, Elijah calls out, hey, bring me something to eat as well. And I can picture her freezing in her steps, realizing that this is a moment of obedience, realizing that what God had told her was coming true. God had said to her, I need you to feed my prophet when he comes. His name's Elijah. You're going to feed him. She stops. She lets out a deep breath. And this is what she says. I swear by the Lord your God, verse 12, that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and just a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will eat it, and then we will die. She could have pointed to the dried up riverbed and said, Elijah, there's a famine. Where do you expect me to get a drink of water? She could have pointed to the fields where the cattle used to graze. Dry and barren. It's just dirt now. Nothing has grown for years. Any food we have has been brought in from far, far away. It's been inflation has taken hold. There's gangs all over this city that take all the resources, and we have to pay through the nose to get it. Where do you expect me to get food, prophet? She could have pointed to the market that was alive with activity before the famine, where she would go and take her son, and they would shop for the groceries that they needed to prepare food every day. Said, prophet, the market. No one has set up for business there, not like it used to be. There's merchants that come in from far away, but I can't even afford what they have. She was not exaggerating when she said, I've got a little flour and a little oil. We're going to eat it. We're going to die. And I don't know if any of you have ever cooked anything before. My guess is that you have. You've cooked it around a fire, just like she was getting ready to cook a meal. But flour and oil, that's not peach cobbler coming out of the Dutch oven. It's kind of gross, actually. Not much nourishment in it. It's all they've got. She says, we're going to go eat this and we're going to die. I don't know why you're asking me this. God spoke to me, but I don't know why God's speaking to me either. Elijah responds to her the way a man of God should respond. With courage, he says, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left over to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Are you ready for this? God says, there will always be flour and olive oil in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So what do you think happened? So she did exactly what Elijah said. She and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days, for there was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as God had promised through Elijah. God did a miracle because she said yes. God spoke to Elijah, said, go to the village. He went because God went first. God spoke to the widow lady, and he said, I need you to feed the prophet, and I'm going to take care of you. He went first. You see how this works? When we obey God, he goes ahead of us and makes a way for us. We don't have an example in this story of her disobeying God, although we do have her prediction. What do you think would have happened if she said no? Well, what do you think would have happened if when Elijah said, don't be afraid, there will always be olive oil, there will always be flour left in the containers. And what if she said, I don't even believe that. Are you talking about a never-ending jar of flour, like a magical jar of oil, so I'm always going to have that? Well, that's exactly what happened. Think about what that meant for that single mom. Think about what that would have meant for her at that time. All of a sudden, she had enough to feed, and the Bible says it fed her whole family, her whole household. Because in that culture, it wouldn't have just been like one family living in an apartment. It would have been like grandpa, grandma, they lived there, the cousins, the aunt, they all lived there. The Bible says the whole household ate. So this is a never-ending jar. It's not magic. It's God's miraculous provision. So now all of a sudden, she has a resource to provide, not just for her and her son, but for others, for everyone in the household. Now she has a resource that when those merchants come from far away with the resources that are growing in another land, but not growing in Israel, and they come to trade them, she's got a resource that she can trade. She's not just a poor single mom anymore. She's a single mom with a small business that she's running out of her home because of God's miraculous provision. If you say yes, you can trust that God has gone first. But sometimes we're so afraid. Sometimes we're so afraid. Have you seen the video on YouTube of the glass bridge? It looks like it's in Eastern Asia somewhere. I don't know if it's in China or somewhere like that, but it's a glass bridge like over this huge ravine. And they make people put on like booty socks over their shoes to keep their street shoes from like scratching the glass. Cause you like when you walk on it, it looks like you're just kind of walking on air. And if you'll have to Google it when you have access to the internet again. When the people walk on this bridge, it's really funny because some of them are just like, and then to make it even more intense, they've replaced some of the glass panels with these LED screens, right? And the image looks like the other glass screen or the other glass panels. It looks like you're just walking on another glass panel because when you look down, you just see the ravine below because that's what's projected on the LED screen. But does anybody know what happens when they step on the LED screen? It cracks. Oh, you have seen this video. Yeah. So it totally cracks and the people are freaking out and like panic ensues. And that's the image I get of people who don't want to obey God. That's the image I get of people who are afraid to obey God. You see, the people are not in any danger, but fear has gripped them. And you can see there's other people in the video just standing there, just kind of laughing at them, pointing and laughing. And you're like, oh, they're so, you know, dumb. But you and I, with the Spirit of the Lord in us, are not just called. You know, it's one thing to say, let's rise up for battle. But you can't rise up for battle until you're willing to be obedient with every little step that God asks you to make. And that's what the message for tonight is to say yes to God no matter what. That was one of the lessons I learned as a young Royal Ranger. I can't tell you why. I don't know what it was, but when I was 9 years old and I was at, it's now called Heartland Camp in Ohio. Mike Johns is here. Commander Mike was one of my commanders when I was in Rangers. I mentioned Commander Hugie the other night, and I didn't mean to be disrespectful when I said, oh, he's gone. I knew that he had passed away. He was my commander in the 80s, and he was in his 60s then. So if he were still alive now, he'd be like 110. But one of the things that I remember learning was to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was a little more strict in Rangers back then. Yes, sir. No, sir. And when God gives you an order, when he makes his request, when he makes his will known to you, the only answer that you can have is yes, sir. Because he's gone first, and you don't need to be afraid. I've got a few thoughts for you, and then I'm going to invite the band back. In fact, musicians, you can come back whenever you're ready, if you can hear me back there. You go first, and I will say yes. Some make the mistake of saying to God, me first. I got to take care of my needs first, and then I'll do what you want me to do, God. I've been saving up my money because I'm gonna buy that. I'm gonna buy a video game. I'm saving up my money because I've got something special that I want to do. I'm saving up for a guitar. Some of you are older. I'm saving up for a car. I'm saving up for college. And God's given you an instruction. He said, hey, I want you to support a missionary. Hey, I want you to give something sacrificially. Some make the mistake of saying, me first. I can't afford it, God. I'll serve you later, God. Some don't respond to God at all, but they talk about him. Some continue in their sin when God is gently saying to them, please stop. You're only hurting yourself and others. Some make the mistake of saying, well, I'm going to continue to disobey God because I know he'll forgive me later. Is that true? It is true. But it's also called, I call that drive-through fast food grace. You can live off it, but it's not healthy. God would never want me to be upset. God would never want me to be uncomfortable. God would never want me to go without. None of that is even true. Some ignore God completely, and they say things like, God doesn't exist. I only believe in science. I love science, man. I love studying science. I love watching some PBS, Discovery Channel. Give me some Neil deGrasse Tyson. Because all science does is prove that we have a creator and that what the Bible says is true. You just got to keep digging. You got to keep studying. It's 100% true. So three words of instruction to you, and then we'll close. Number one, say yes to God's instructions. Say yes to God's instructions. I've only got my digital Bible up here. I've got my Bible on my iPad. I have it on my phone. Some of you, I don't know if anybody has their hard copy Bible. Those are God's instructions for you. You've got to say yes to God's instructions. How do you say yes to the instructions in the Bible? Well, it starts with reading it. Saying yes to God for that widow was a matter of life and death. Because I really think that if she had said no, then what she had just said would have come true. My son and I are going to eat, and then we're going to die. And if she had refused to say yes to God in that moment, I think the response would have been like, okay, have it your way. I had another plan for you, but you choose your plan. You say, well, that's mean. It's not mean. God loves us so much that he gives us something we call free will. He lets us choose what we're going to do, whether we're going to say yes or no. That's why I say this. That's why this is number two. Say yes to God's business. Number one, say yes to God's instructions. Say yes to God's business. And there's only three of them, so I'm getting ready to wrap this up in just a minute. Say yes to God's business. Take care of God's business first. I love it when Elijah responds to her fear. And there's an exclamation point there. So I don't know if he was like shouting. I don't know if he was like getting in her face. I have a feeling that he was being gentle and kind, but very insistent. I have a feeling he got down close. And with as much love as the Holy Spirit could put in him and communicate to this poor single mom in this moment of life or death, we don't know what happened to her husband. We don't know why there wasn't a man in her life. It's likely that he'd been killed. Maybe he died in the famine, giving his food to his family, as any father in the house would do. That's what I would do. Maybe he died defending his family from those who would try and hurt them or take from them. But with as much love as he could muster, he says to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said. Make a little bread for me first. Say yes to God. And then the last thing is this, say yes to God's supernatural blessing. I want everybody to stand together tonight because my prayer for every Royal Ranger here, or if you're a guest, my prayer is that you would be on the receiving end of God's supernatural blessing. And some of you need God's supernatural blessing right here, right now. So we're going to pray for God's supernatural blessing. So we're going to start. We're going to do another invitation where everybody can come down to the front, but we're going to start with those who would say, Josh, I have a need in my life that if God doesn't answer it, there's no other solution. If that's you, would you step out from where you are and come down so we can pray over you? I even was prepared for physical healings tonight because I brought my anointing oil. So we'll pray for healing. We'll pray for provision. Maybe it's a financial need. Look at these guys. They're just like, let's go. I was praying specifically before service for the men in the room in the amphitheater, the men who have a financial need. I was praying for jobs, better jobs, raises, and promotions. So if that's you, come on down. I was praying for you earlier. I'd love to pray for you in person. That was the phrase that I prayed too. Jobs, better jobs, raises, and promotions. I don't know. And I'm not like a money guy. I'm not like a Jesus prosperity dude. I believe that God can prosper you, but that's not my message tonight. Hey, if you don't do the screen thing, guys. I'm gonna ask you to go back if you do that, okay? So let's not do that. We'll be silly later. Let me read something to you that I wrote. Well, I mean, it's the Bible, but I put it in my notes. I want you to hear something, and you're going to have to hear me through, because the first part, some of you, your ears are going to perk up, and you're going to turn your head sideways and go, huh? Provision is guaranteed, but supernatural blessing is conditional. That should make you kind of turn your head sideways and go, what? Let me just give you some scripture here. In verse 14 of that passage from 1 Kings, Elijah said, "For this is what the Lord said, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers." That was a supernatural blessing. That was a miracle. In Genesis, Jacob receives the blessing that should have gone to Esau, because supernatural blessing is not guaranteed. Provision, supernatural blessing, it has the condition of your obedience. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. Because supernatural blessing is not guaranteed. It is conditional on your obedience. Provision is guaranteed. Jesus said, "My Father causes it to rain on the just and the unjust." Rain being the symbol of God's provision, because without rain, they couldn't grow their food. So you would say, well, how come sometimes people that aren't even Christians get blessed, Josh? Because provision is God's blessing to everyone that He has created. You know, we've done a great job in our church culture of giving Christians a burden for the lost and sort of drawing that line and saying, unless you've confessed with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're not saved. That is true. That is our theology. We've done a great job of explaining that. But what we don't understand, sometimes what happens is that we forget how much God loves people that don't know Him yet, or who have not submitted their lives or their hearts, asked Jesus into their hearts. James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up in honor, because supernatural blessing is not guaranteed. The blessing of knowing God's will for your life only comes with obedience. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. See, you only know God's will. Another translation says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. So when you stop conforming, that's when you can know God's will. It's a supernatural blessing. In Acts, Saul was blessed with healing after he obeyed what Jesus was instructing him to do, because supernatural blessing is not guaranteed. Some blessings come to everyone. I already recited this one, but Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 is when Jesus says He causes the sun to rise on the evil and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. There's always something to be thankful for. Always something to be thankful for. But tonight we're seeking God's supernatural blessing, and it comes with obedience. It comes with obedience. It comes when you say, Lord, I will say yes no matter what. And you can trust that he has gone first. He's not asking you to go anywhere he hasn't gone. He's not asking you to do anything he hasn't already done. Because last time I checked, he gave his only begotten son so that some could be saved, so that you could be saved, so that you could walk in supernatural blessing. He gave because that's what God does, because he so loved, because that's what God is. Rangers out here, these people all came forward because they need something. They need some kind of provision. We've got men and boys down here that have said, I need something. Would you come in behind them? Let's pray with our brothers. Let's pray with our Ranger family. We're not going to let these men stand alone because they are not alone. And listen, men, young men, boys, I don't know what you came down for, but I believe in a God that provides. I need you to come quickly because we're going to move quick and we're going to respond quick. I need you to come and lay hands. These guys need to know that they're not alone. You've got men of all ages down here. And if experience tells me anything, it's that you can't possibly imagine what all these needs are, but the Lord knows. It's just like last night when we had testimonies. I didn't know we were going to hear testimonies from people who had lost best friends, going through brokenness. All right, let's pray. In fact, does that come to the altar? Would you guys go, you know what? You pray. I'm going to let the band lead, and I'm going to come back in just a moment. You know what to do, Rangers. We're praying for God's supernatural provision. There are needs down here. We are not going to stand alone. No one stands alone tonight. You've got the support of your brothers. You've got the support of your Ranger family. Most importantly, the Lord has gone first. He's asking you to say yes. He will provide. I just have something on my heart that I want to pray for the dads. Listen. Listen, dads. My family's not here with me. I've got four kids. I got two boys, 18 and 16. I've got two girls, 13 and 10. And I just feel impressed to pray for fathers for just a minute. And I'm going to pray for two things for the dads. And this is not going to be every dad here, by the way. I'm going to pray specifically for dads who have kids that are away from God. And then the second one is going to be a prayer for the dads that are running the race, and you're waiting for that supernatural blessing. And I'm going to pray Galatians 6:9. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest of blessing if you do not give up. Can we pray that over our dads tonight? So if you're a father, would you lift your hands? And will you, if you're just the dads, just the dads. If you're a dad, lift your hands. And boys, let's lay our hands on these dads and let's ask God to bless them. Because they came here to be a blessing to you. But anytime you give to the Lord, you get back more than you give. So let's pray that they receive more blessing because they've sown into the ministry this week. So let's lay hands on our dads. Father, we pray first for kids that are away from you. Lord, whether they're adult children, teenage children, young children, God, we pray in Jesus' name that the lost sons and daughters would come home in Jesus' name, that they would come home. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to the prodigal wherever he or she is at, whatever he or she is doing. May they know that there is a Father waiting to run to them. Lord, we pray for lost sons and daughters to come home. As much as we love our kids, you love them so much more. And so, Lord, I pray for the dads with kids that are away from you right now, that they would stay strong, that they would trust you, and that they would continue to pray to seek the power of your Holy Spirit. I rebuke right now any feeling of guilt, of feeling like they did something wrong, or they could have been a better dad. We have to remember that you love our kids way more than we do. And they're your responsibility and we are the stewards. So Lord, there is no shame tonight. We're just calling let's pray for blessing. Let's pray for supernatural blessing on every dad that's here. Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest of blessing if you do not give up. So Lord, right now I pray that these dads wouldn't give up. And Lord, I know that I'm preaching to the choir because these are Royal Rangers. They are ready for anything. So Lord, right now we pray a blessing over every dad who came here. Maybe they're here with their own son. Maybe they're here with other people's children. But right now we pray that they would receive so much more than they've given. Lord, that they would go home to those raises and promotions, to those jobs and better jobs. And Lord, I don't pray that out of a prosperity doctrine. I just pray it out of provision. I pray it out of believing that you want to provide for the families that are represented here in Jesus' name. So Lord, for the dads that are looking for a new job, maybe they're unemployed, maybe they're looking for a job. Lord, I pray that when they get back in cell service, those voice messages start to light up with those work opportunities that they've been praying for. Just the place that you're calling them to do the job that you've called them to. Lord, may the marriages that they're going back to, may the women that run the household, may the wives that you put in their life, Lord, for the husband who thinks he made the wrong decision, Lord, may you remind him that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. So in Jesus' name, we pray over marriages. Lord, we pray that all the fulfillment that you long for them, that they long for themselves, would come as they say yes to you because you have gone first. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. My voice is starting to slip a little bit, guys. Who needs a physical healing? All over the amphitheater, raise your hand if you need a physical healing. Now, Rangers, let's go to these that have their hand up. Let's pray that God would heal them. Let's pray that God would heal them all over this amphitheater. I can't see past the first row, so I'll just trust that you're out there praying. I get excited, I start shouting, and then my voice starts going. The Lord didn't give me one of those strong voices. I tell you, some of the Rangers here have them. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we pray for physical healing. Lord, I know that not everybody has oil, but Lord, your word tells us. In the book of James, it says that if any among you is sick, call for the elders of the church, anoint them with oil. And Lord, we are offering a prayer to you right now, believing that you will heal and touch the sick. Lord, believing that you are a God who heals, believing that our bodies are designed by you. You are the great physician. You have the answer to every one of, whether it's a physical ailment, emotional, mental. Lord, if it is in this realm, Lord, it is under your control. So Lord, right now we pray for healing. Come on, Rangers, pray with me. Pray for healing. Believe that God can heal bodies and minds. As men, it's hard to admit that sometimes we've got emotional or even a mental illness. Lord, we pray for healing for that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for those who have been battling some kind of sickness or even an injury that happened this week, Lord, we pray for healing in Jesus' name. That the physical body, that the mind would be restored. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing that one more time. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. Listen, if you need healing tonight, lift your hand, and Rangers, surround those with their hands up. We're going to pray for healing because this is what's happening in the altar tonight.
The altar, the Father's arms are open. Life.
let's all just sing that. Sing it.
You know, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
First night, I said that the solutions that our world needs are found in this generation. When people ask me what my job is, I just say I'm an old youth pastor. They say, well, you're not old. You know what? Compared to these 20-year-olds that are running around with teenagers and wearing skinny jeans and doing their wacky thing. Actually, skinny jeans aren't even cool anymore, are they? I don't even know. I can't keep up. Can't keep up. I had to get bifocals recently. I forgot my glasses the first night. I couldn't read my notes. So people will ask me, so how much longer are you going to do this, Josh? Say, I'm going to do it until I see a revival in this generation. I'm going to do it until I see the Holy Spirit bringing solutions. As men, as young men, as boys, God has created us for a special purpose. And our culture, you know, it's not just a stereotype that men are problem solvers. It's not that women aren't problem solvers, they are. It's just we do it differently. And in my house, my wife gets frustrated because I'm always trying to solve problems. It's annoying. But here's the thing. The solutions that our world needs are not coming from our natural ability to solve problems. They're coming from what you're seeing down here, gentlemen. When these boys came down here to lift their hands, yeah, some of them just wanted to get on the Jumbotron. That's okay. That's not what we're doing right now. This is the solution, gentlemen. The young leaders. Because you know what? Like my generation, when they start talking about LGBTQ in the public schools, man, I grew up on Adventures in Odyssey and James Dobson, Focus on the Family. I start freaking out. I'm like, ah, what's happening in the, wait, get the homeschool curriculum now. And you know what? Sometimes that is the path to go. We did that for a couple years with our children, but I'm telling you, the solutions that our world needs to the LGBTQ, to the political turmoil that takes place, my goodness, to gun violence, all these issues in our world. The world thinks, and the human mind thinks, man, I'm a man, I can solve this. Just give me a roll of duct tape, we'll get her done. That's right. I'm a zip tie engineer, certified. Show me a problem, I'll fix it. Listen, that's because we're men. We're created to fix things. Again, women are created to fix things too. We just have an obsession with it. But the solutions that the Holy Spirit is bringing are not going to be introduced in the natural. They're going to be introduced in the supernatural. And what you're seeing down here is the fertile soil in which those Holy Spirit seeds are going to be planted, and those solutions are going to rise up. The next great Billy Graham, probably 9 years old right now, might even be here. The next, I mentioned James Dobson. What a great resource that was for parents. Maybe, you know, it still is. But those kind of solutions. We saw Johnny Barnes up on the screen tonight. The man that introduced Royal Rangers, these men who came back from World War II with the survival skills that they coupled with discipleship and scripture to raise up a generation of young men that now we see several generations later, and it's still going on today. Those kinds of solutions are birthed in prayer. So don't make the mistake of thinking that the solution the world needs is going to be birthed in your imagination or in your creativity outside of Holy Spirit inspiration. I don't know if I said that as clearly as I should have, because the Lord will certainly use your creativity, but it's got to be birthed in the Holy Spirit. Commander Carl, come on up. I didn't want to preach a second sermon. Give us some instruction. Give us some direction. Show some love to Commander Carl. Help him up, boys. It's further up than it looks, isn't it?
Scared to jump. Wow. Wow, I'm so grateful for what the Holy Spirit is doing. As God is birthing day after day, little by little in our hearts, this confident assurance. I was thinking of the three Hebrew children. They were facing an impossible situation. It was very easy, similar to what we face so many times. It was so very easy just to do what everybody else does. But as Josh was talking about, you go first and then I'll follow. What did they say? They knew what the truth was. And they didn't know what the solution was going to be, because they said, we'll go in this fire and our God will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still going in. And that's what I see God slowly birthing, a confidence in us. A confidence in us and an assurance in us to know that, God, you've got this. If you go home from this camp this week with that knowledge that I don't know how it's going to be solved, I don't know how it's going to end, I don't know what it's going to do, but this I do know, God's going ahead of me and he somehow is going to work it out. That's all I need to worry about. When Peter got out of the boat, he didn't know how he's going to walk on the water. But guess what? That wasn't his problem. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. And as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he did the impossible. It was only when, as Josh said, he started to try to figure it out on his own, he looked at the wind and the waves and worried, that then it started to sink. God's teaching us to keep our eyes on him. Amen? I just want to pray this over you. Father, right now, I just pray Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, you who've begun the good work, you'll bring it to completion until that day of Christ Jesus. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for that, God. As we walk out from here, God, tonight and tomorrow, help us just as we share with one another to build up that confidence, to build up that assurance in our lives of knowing that God's got this. And that, Father, as you go first, we can follow you anywhere, because there is absolutely nothing you can't do or won't do for your children. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen.